Lord, we bless your holy name, Lord. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you granted us your grace. You blessed us with the boldness and the endurance to press on and to go through this narrow path by the leading of your Spirit, embracing the fruit of the Holy Spirit, holding on to your faith, looking forward to the hope of eternal glory, learning and receiving from the testimonies of our brethren, the edification and encouragement from one another, the agape love that is bringing all of us together as one family of God. Lord, we bless your holy name, Lord, for the house of the Lord is a house of prayer. Lord, may you dwell in the midst of us and move in the midst of us and rest, O Lord, in the deep of our hearts. We are here to be soaked in thy presence. We are here to be washed thoroughly by thy word. We are here to listen to your still small voice. Help us, Lord, to grow day by day in thy way, according to your pleasure and will. Teach us, Lord, how we can be fruitful in the land where you planted us as a garden. Help us, Lord, to shine the light on the mount, on the hill, where you planted us as a lighthouse. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. Lord, we pray that you help us to understand the purpose of us breathing today, to understand the purpose of us receiving thy marvelous light, to understand the meaningful, beautiful, divine cause, the root cause of all things, the origin of all things. I am the Alpha and Omega, Lord, you said. Lord, may you help us. For God of Jacob is our help. And we are all needy people, O Lord. We need your help to understand your marvelous works in our life and also in the lives of our dear family of God. For we are here to walk together, to move together as one family of God, as one body of Christ. Help us, Lord. We pray for thy unity of the Spirit, the bond of perfectness, put on charity, to understand from thy words of life what is there for us to learn, what is there for us to change, what is there for us to repent, what is there for us to revive, to be restored as the sanctuary, tabernacle of God every single day, for the flame to shine beautiful, brighter, for the souls in the darkness wandering around, they can see the fountain of life. You, the chief cornerstone. Blessed be your holy name. We thank you, Lord, for all things. May you take complete control of all of us. This is your congregation. This is your house. This is your church. You are the head of our church. Lord, we surrender everything at thy feet. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we all pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Brothers and sisters, friends in Christ, family in Christ, we thank the Lord for the beautiful worship and the songs. I'm truly blessed. Although we cannot understand the language, the lyrics was quite touching, and also it's very deep. Most of the times our mind always reminding us, hey, you should be curious. You should be curious. Learn something new. If you learned something once, don't waste your time. Don't just try to listen it again. No? You might have heard this quote. We have only one life. Live it to the fullest. Whatever the time that God has given you, don't do the same thing repeatedly. What is the definition of meditation? If I eat a food, if I swallow, I'll choke myself to death. Amen? I need to chew to make sure I can understand what I'm eating, to taste the food, whether it is good for my health, to understand whether it makes sense to me. Before I decide to swallow, there must be a reconciliation. There must be a acceptance. There must be an understanding that this part of the word resonates the same faith, because I am also the part of the Word. So the words of life having a meeting with the part of the Word of life, you. Amen. So life meets life. God's children commune with God's children. Deep things of God commune with deep things of God. Anything outside would be seen as, God would say, King Solomon, I call you the great king of wisdom. Why are you marrying the wives from other nations, other countries? Are you going to give birth to thoughts that are unholy? Thoughts that are not acceptable in my presence? So God has warned all of us, our intimate relationship, our communion, our fellowship, sharing our thoughts, our joy, our burden, being inspired from one another, edification, encouragement, has to be in the same foundation, soaked in the same presence of the Holy Spirit, washed in the same river of Jordan, and worshipping the Lord in the same Mount of Zion. Amen? And that is the unity of faith that we are taught. But at the same time, God told us, love your enemies, because they are not your enemies. God is fighting the enemy of lack of understanding. God is fighting the enemy of unrighteousness. And for us, we are the only medium, we are the only vessel through which God can show some mercy. God can give His grace. God can decide to turn His wrath away. Amen? So He called us, I'm looking for a man to stand in the gap. Why? Why? If the eyes of the Lord sees unrighteousness, by being the Almighty Himself, His righteousness will burn the unrighteousness. Because He must exist as who He is, the self-sufficient one. Amen? So when the Lord says, if someone stands in the gap, hide all the unrighteousness behind His righteousness that I put in Him, then He can say, I forgot your iniquities. I cannot see. Because someone is hiding my vision. Correct? So remember, when a father goes to punish the child, the mother will come between. The child will go and hide behind the mother. You can't see because the child is small. The mother can actually physically hide the child. And the father will try to show some drama as if he's going to beat the child. Then the child will escape, hiding behind the mother. The entire nation of Israel, I would say multitude of Israel, they were hiding behind one single man, Moses. Amen? But the beauty is, they were not trying to hide behind. Moses had to put his head on the line, because they were so stiff-necked, they were so brave, so courageous to go against God. So Moses was hiding, but they were actually trying to expose themselves. I'm here. You can send the rats. I can face it. But Moses was standing in the gap. No, God, have mercy. Because Psalms tells this, Jesus Christ spoke about it, Apostle Paul spoke about it, one man Moses turned the wrath of Almighty. Amen? Turned away, not destroyed, not make it disappear. Turned away, it'll come back. It's like a boomerang. He threw, you just duck, and you escape from that one single sling, it comes back. Why? Because He cannot have any unbalance in His judgment. He is called the righteous judge. Amen? So last Sunday, the title of the sermon was so beautiful, so positive, Adulterous Wife. Talking about how a wife can betray the husbandman, how a wife can do all things to have relationship with strange husbands, as the scripture says in Book of Ezekiel, chapter 16. But we, for us, the Lord called all of us, I have decorated you with beautiful jewels. I have clothed you with beautiful garment. Just keep it and just wait for my coming. I will come and take you home. But until then, you and me, we are the bride waiting for the groom. Amen? But in the Old Testament, the Lord allowed us to learn from marriages, broken marriages, broken covenant, kings who disobeyed God and took wives from different nations, different culture, oftentimes our mind will limit our understanding with husband, wife, king, wives, king, concubines, children. Let's take all of those flesh away. Because there are three components in our life: soul, spirit, body. Amen? So now, for a moment, I want you all to forget about body. Just focus on soul and spirit. Just soul and spirit. Now, God has put His spirit in you because there is no other spirit. He blessed you by breathing His life. So we receive the life. Then He put us into an ark, a body. And this body is carrying what the Lord put us inside. Now, in the Old Testament, people made mistakes because they were very much focused on the ark, the carrier, the vessel that carries the soul and spirit. Because that time, they were not granted to receive the understanding, the revelation of Jesus Christ. There was no comforter, no Calvary, no parables, nothing. It was all about God fulfilling His promises that He gave to Adam. He told Adam, be fruitful. So He needs to build an empire, a nation, a multitude of people, the 12 tribes of Israel. Then there must be a division of Gentiles. So it needs time. It needs 4,000 years of time to prepare the ground for the Savior to step in. The Calvary was a preparation for more than 4,000 years. The moment there was a disobedience, rebellion, lust, sin committed in the Garden of Eden, Calvary has to be prepared. Amen? Because death entered. So life needs to enter the scene to destroy death. If there is darkness, only light can destroy darkness. Can anything else destroy darkness? No, light. By how? By taking its place. If the whole room is dark, I can say, this room, I can't see. When I go inside, I can't see anything. So I turn on the light. Light takes the place of darkness, and darkness is like, you are vacated. No, just go away. You are disappeared. So someone took over a nation and conquered the nation and say, from now on, this city will only see light. No night, no death, no weeping, no sorrow, no pain. Amen? So there must be a conqueror. There must be a victory. There must be a war. There must be a battle. There must be an army. And there are some walls to break and to destroy. Now, God has called all of us to show the world what is the beauty of Holy Spirit. What is the power of the Holy Faith. He wants us to demonstrate by holding on to peace. Amen? In the Old Testament, they were holding on to vengeance, revenge, war, battle, victory. But that was required of them in that time to prevent the people of Israel to be destroyed by the enemies. King of Assyria, king of Babylon, king of Persia. There were so many adversaries. King of Egypt. But the Lord trained them to be warriors. He appointed armies. He built a strong tower for them to be preserved. Because line of Judah has to come. King David must come. King Solomon must come. And in that journey, our Savior, our Master, can come and say, the son of David is here. The root and offspring of David is here. Amen. So throughout this 7,000 years of journey, the reason why I say 7,000 years, we are in 6,024, around that, if you just calculate from Old Testament, add New Testament, we are 2024. So we are already more than 6,000 years. Amen. It's like, if I ask you what is the time, you say 6:30 p.m. Which means 6 hours completed, you are already in the 30 minutes of 7th hour, correct? You are already in the 7th hour, correct? So being the 7th church age, we are already on the 7th day. We are already in the 7,000 year timeline. We are already in. We have our feet in the end of times. Now, what is left? To tell the Lord, we are ready to run the last gasp of rounds 7 times. Amen? Not once, 7 times. Because the work must be done swiftly, quickly, faster, stronger, mightier, as the Spirit leads. Because after this, there is a destruction coming. There is a destruction coming. It also has another name, the fulfillment of the wrath of God, which has been turned away, escaped, returned to Him, whatever you can call it. It's all being stored, reserved for the Lord to unleash all at once and say, my fury is at rest. So before that, He is looking at all His flock, His bride, the seven church age, to come back to our senses, to tell the Lord, Lord, bless me with the hunger and thirst, the sincerity to run, to be able to witness You, to be able to put myself on Thy fruitful field for You to do whatever pleases You. He is expecting all of us and reminding all of us, the harvest is there, but the laborers are few. His people, the children of God, God who created all the life, they are destroyed for the lack of knowledge and understanding. Amen? And what is the knowledge? Knowing Jesus is the lack of knowledge. What is the wisdom? To understand what the Lord is speaking to us in spirit. The knowledge of the Holy is understanding. Amen? So, fear of God is the beginning of everything. Our knowledge, the wisdom of the Holy, the understanding. So, the Lord is calling all of us from the Old Testament. Do you want to become the adulterous wife, unrighteous bride, or to be the anointed wife, righteous bride? Amen? That is a question, Old Testament, looking at us, screaming at us, not just suggesting, not just requesting. All the lessons you see in the Old Testament, screaming at us. Remain as the righteous bride of the righteous judge, the righteous groom. Remain as the anointed bride of the anointed, Jesus Christ, the anointed. The fullness of God, the Spirit of God that rests upon Him. The fullness of God. The complete manifestation of the God. The only one who can say, the anointed. Amen? He can anoint everyone because He is the anointed. And He called all of us. You are the bride anointed by Me, the anointed. And you will become the anointed's wife. Now, let's look at my hand. On one side, anointed's wife. On the other side, adulterous wife. So we can choose. This is life. This is death. This is love. This is wrath. This is faithfulness. This is betrayal. So, for us, we are not here to focus on the last one, body. All our eyes set upon the soul and spirit from the Old Testament. As I said, for us, we position David as one husbandman and assemble all the wives as one single woman and look at every single name and the fruits of every single name and the result of it, root cause of it, you know. And the Lord says, I will prune your branches. There is only one tree of life. I will make sure to understand the vine and we are the branches, abide in Him. Every single vine can choose. I can be Michal. I can be Bathsheba. I can be Abigail. You can do whatever you want. Who killed Nabal? Answer me. Who killed Nabal? The husband of Abigail. Who killed Nabal? God. Who killed Uriah? God? No. Joab. Now you see, I'm placing Abigail here, wife of Nabal, correct? I'm placing Bathsheba here, wife of Uriah, correct? In other words, wife of righteous man Uriah. Abigail, wife of Nabal, who was not able to be righteous, who was not able to be listening, understanding what he should do, irrespective of warning, on the 10th day, he was struck and he died. But David, sitting at the center, he got both the women. Abigail became his wife, Bathsheba became his wife. But how they became his wife, you can see unrighteousness on one side, righteousness on the other side. David became unrighteous by killing the righteous Uriah. And for that, he needed Joab. Correct? Look at this.
He needed Joab to take Bathsheba as his wife, although he was taught Abigail was given to him because Nabal was removed, correct? By who? Joab? No, by God. So what we do? The Lord has blessed you with all the goodness. He showed you grace and mercy again and again and again. But we forget all of His benefits and we go and try on our own. I'm going to do this. Why? During this course, you forgot that you were weak. You became strong. During this journey, you forgot you were nothing but a shepherd, overseeing flock. But suddenly you became king of Israel. A sudden growth will fall. Even more sudden, deep fall. So the Lord has warned all of us to learn from the characters. There is no male, female, there is no body. That is the focus of our sermon. Last Sunday and also today's Sunday. Forget about man, woman. You are that woman. I am that woman. We are the wise virgin. The Lord called us to be wise virgin. We need to prove I can be the wise virgin by holding on to His word. We cannot say, I am the wise virgin. I desire to do His commandments to remain as a wise virgin for the groom can come and take me for the marriage. Amen? I cannot presume. I can't take my own title. Only the Lord, the Master can come down and say, my faithful servant, I am pleased in thee. I cannot say, I'm a faithful servant, God is pleased in me. He should come and vouch for you. He should come and tell you, I am pleased. Good report can only come from God who is good. Amen? Light can only come from God who is light. John the Baptist has clearly warned all of us. There is only one light. True light. There are other lights. Not true lights. Look like a light. So now, we meditate on what happened to John the Baptist. So we are going to bring some characters. Before I go and jump into the fountain of life, the scripture, let's remember some characters. Wife of Lot. She turned back to look up to what's happening to Sodom and Gomorrah. And she just stood there. Became a pillar of salt. Don't tell me she became pillar of gold. Pillar of salt. You threw salt in the ocean, it will dissolve. She will just become part of the salt sea. Salt also has a flavor. Amen? It's not transparent, odorless water. So we will go there. Pillar of salt. Fine. She became a pillar of salt. She had two daughters, correct? Remember? Now, I want you all to remember, think that you are the Lot. Two angels came to your house. Actually, they wanted to abide on the street. You go and press upon them greatly. No. You should come to my home. I can make food. It's very tasty. You should try how my wife cooks food. You should try the hospitality of my two daughters. Come. So you force them. And the two angels tell you, no, I want to abide in the street. Because we have a job to do. What is it? To destroy a city. But they didn't tell this to him first. So he brought them to the house. Now all the filthy, evil people came about around the house. And now Lot, being a righteous man, because he is called Lot the righteous man. Amen? There is no denying about it. So he went outside the house. Now, let's say I am one of the daughters. You are also one of the daughters. You are hearing what the father is speaking. And the father is telling, take my daughters. Don't touch the angels. What do you really think? What? I thought you love me. I'm your daughter. You are just throwing me like pigs to be slaughtered. You are just giving me as a free gift to these filthy people. They will rape me. They will kill me. What are they doing? Lord said, I will sacrifice my wife or my two daughters who never know men. You can take them. But don't lay your hand upon the two angels because they are my guests. I invited them. I am responsible. I am accountable. I consider them more than my family. I love them as I love myself. He was willing to lose anything. If Lot was a selfish person, if he knows this city is going to be destroyed, if the Lord gives you two choices, one, to fall in the hands of the Lord, to be destroyed along with the fire, correct? Easy. If I give you a choice, nuclear bomb, you will sit on a nuclear bomb. Boom, 1 second. You don't even feel the pain. You already know in terms of vapor, you are gone. Easy. But if the Lord gives you another choice, to be killed by torture, no. It's more time, amen? So if the pain is too much for us, we don't want, But we want more grace from the Lord. Correct? We want more grace, so we will have more time. But when the suffering comes, we say, no. It should be done as quick as possible. Swiftly, Lord. Long-suffering is not my game, Lord. Because the God whom I serve, He is mighty in battle. He will do things just like that. That is not the God I serve. That's not the God you serve. He will do it. When we were that woman looking for the tip of the garment, first time experiencing who He is, first time. Second time, you are not a babe anymore. You grow, child. Then you grow as a boy. Then you grow as a man. Book of Ezekiel, chapter 21, 33, 34, we read. The Lord says, my flock are men. Amen? But He called all of us, you are my children. Children, but yet men. Weak, but yet we are strong. Imperfect, but yet we are perfect. Unholy, but yet we are holy. You see, that double-edged sword, it is cutting us right there. We always lean this side. Lord, I am yours. Amen? Now, these two daughters who were saved by Lot, by putting his life on behalf of them, and also offering them to this man, the two angels, they pulled him inside. We studied this. They shut the door. We studied this. Then, the next day, the whole Sodom and Gomorrah was burned to ground. Amen? But during the night, what happened, my brethren? They struck all those wandering around the house who were trying to find the door. They became blind. They could not find the door. Whole night, because there was no light. The next day, Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. The fire devoured the dumb, came from the heaven and destroyed. Now, Lot, he did his best to give the door for his wife and the two daughters, correct? Now you are going to see the mother's daughter. Mother became pillar of salt, she turned back, and the father went to Zoar. He told the angels, I will go and dwell and I'll start my new life there. When he was drunk, he was made to be drunk. Very similar to Noah, not much difference. Noah was drunk, the son defiled the bed of the father. He uncovered the nakedness of the father. So the serpent in nature was preserved by who? The wife of Noah, not anyone else. Remember? My brethren, God, who knows how to destroy all the flesh of the earth, He still did not destroy the wife of Noah, because she is the wife of Noah, the righteous man. So she was allowed to board the ark. And she bore the ark. The serpent in nature did not destroy completely. She carried the seed. And she gave it to her son, who is also a mixer. Now, this wife of righteous man Noah, and this pillar of salt, this wife, the righteous man Lot, what is the fruit of these two women? One became pillar of salt, gone. Good. When I say gone, that flesh was removed from Lot. But it didn't stop there. She still had two more tokens, two more weapons, two more tools, her daughters. And those daughters, they were with the father Lot. He told all those people, they do not know any man. You can take them. He proclaimed their virginity in front of all the filthy people. He was offering them a sacrifice to preserve the two angels, correct? Now, these two daughters, they wanted to preserve the seed of the father. They made him to be drunk. Let's read those three verses so that we bring back what we learned from last Sunday again today. And we take it from here. Genesis chapter 19. We start from there. Genesis chapter 19. Verse 30. Chapter 19 verse 30 starts with this title of the birth of Moab and Ben-Ammi. Ben-Ammi is nothing but what? Ammon. Ammonites. Last few months, about 2 months or so, we have been keep on reading Ammonites throughout the sermons, one way or other. One good example, Sanballat and Tobiah, correct? Those two, they went against who? Nehemiah, the builder of the wall, amen? Who is Tobiah? Tobiah was an Ammonite, amen? Don't forget, Tobiah was an Ammonite. Never forget, Ammonite. Now we read here, verse 30. And Lot went up to Zoar and dwelt in the mountain and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. But what the two angels told him? Let's read. Let's go back. We read verse 17. Chapter 19, verse 17. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. There is no other way they can warn him clearly. The instruction is very clear. Do not stay in the plain. Something will fall on your head. Go to the mountain, so that you won't be destroyed by what is going to come. There was clear-cut instructions given to Lot. Even God told Abraham, go to mountain, I'll meet you there. Amen? So when the Lord says something, we can't reason what the Lord is telling. We just obey. We don't have to ask why. As if you are better than him. As if you are smarter than him. We just trust and obey. Because the scripture says, he is holy in all his ways. He is righteous in all his works. That's it. We don't need reasoning. Proof-driven faith is not faith. Blessed are those who believe, yet they haven't seen. Let's read this. The angels told him very clearly, and Lord said unto him, Oh, not so, my Lord. You know what? Let me propose this to you. Wait. The two came. Lord saw them striking blindness to all the multitude. He's seeing all of this. He knows they are going to destroy the Sodom and Gomorrah. He knows all of this. He offered his whole family. He knows all of this. But still he said, no, Lord. No, not so, O Lord. From where this lingering came? Was it instant? No. Lot was struggling with hesitation, lingering. It was clearly mentioned in verse 16. And while he lingered, verse 16, while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife. Not just him. His wife was also covered as part of the redemption plan. And upon the hand of his two daughters, not just the wife, and the two children. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Now, the Lord being merciful unto him, they brought him forth and set him without the city. What happened to Lot? In a single chapter, I'm going to go here. Now, I'm Lot, before the destruction. I offer my daughters, my wife, to the filthy men. Other side, the man tells me, do this. Now I linger. I hesitate. I became a doubtful man. What happened to me? What happened to me? So am I serving the Lord in my own zealous will? So when the Lord just uncovered my nakedness, I see who I am truly. He was so reckless to get himself killed by going against the multitude. They forced him against the door. If the two angels didn't pull him in, he is dead at that point of time. He's gone. He was so trying to be righteous, trying to be so good man, good, but do not let your good to be evil spoken. He put his life on the cross, I understand. But he didn't seek help from the two angels. He did not even consult them what to do. He just went and said he was about to be killed. The two angels, they put him inside. That is stage one saving. They saved him first time, correct? If they did not pull him inside the house, if they did not shut the door. Because the scripture says when the Lord shut the door, no one can open the door, amen? Never forget this. Those two angels are nothing but the vessels of Almighty, filled by His Spirit. They came for a purpose. So they closed the door, no one can open it. Now Lot is safe, correct? He has no reason to linger, correct? But he still lingered. You can never serve God, no matter how zealous you are. No matter how sacrificial you can become. The Lord would say, don't be a stupid. Who told you to get yourself killed? Who told you to suffer like this? I didn't tell you. The Lord who knows how to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, don't He know how to protect you? Don't He know how to save His children? Sometimes, the flesh in us kick in as savior. I'm going to be a superhero. I'm going to carry 1,000 kilograms weight. To tell the world, I'm like an ant. I can carry 10 times more than my weight. Nobody cares. It's not going to save anyone. It will only give you but this man, whoa, 1,000 kilograms weight. Wow, what a strong man. So what's happening? Your testimony cannot find the name of Jesus Christ. You can only see your name there. That is a sign of Whether we serve the Lord or we serve us by telling, I serve the Lord. Now, Lot was saved first time. Now, he was lingering. If the angels told, oh, my train is going, I can't wait for you, I need to go on board the train. If he's still lingering, he's done, gone. Correct? Do not delay in performing the commandments of the Lord. Was it a joke? Was it a joke? Because you never know when the grace period ends. Not for the whole world. For you, for me. It is unique. It is unique. Every single part of the world, you have received your own grace according to His will. You never know when your lungs will stop working. You never know when your heart stops beating. You never know when your mind confounds yourself and you say, I don't believe in Jesus Christ. I have seen many. I have seen many who served the Lord for 20, 30 years. When their son got killed in a tragic accident, they said, there is no God. All I did in my life, 20, 30 years, was a lie. They started proclaiming, no God, be an atheist. So, all these years, we were worshipping the perfect cycle of your life, not the perfect will of God. That's the truth. When the Lord breaks the will, you know whether you were rejoicing in the chariot or you were rejoicing the one who built the chariot. Your body is a chariot. Your life is a chariot. If you want smooth road, you may worship God. Of course. You will worship God. When the Lord breaks the will, then you know, oh, there is no God. Which means that chariot was your God. You are nothing, no difference between Assyrian, Ammonite, or Persian, or even King Sennacherib, who worshipped Nisroch. So, the Lord called all of us. He is testing us, are you lingering? What is the side effect, consequence of us lingering? If those two angels decided, keep lingering, if they go and take the train, go. And that city, that land is destroyed. Burned to ground. Amen? You will have no second chance to come back from lingering. First church age, second church age, 3, 4, 5, 6, done. We are in seventh church age, living on seventh day, in a 7,000 year period. And if we still have the boldness, so-called poisonous boldness, so-called cowardly courageous, to linger, if the two witnesses come and say, I'm not waiting for you, we are done. Before the Lord starts entering into the season of breaking, we must remember our Creator in the days of our youth, before the silver cord is broken. Can you say that verse is only for Brother Joshua and all those young ones, little Hazel, Elizabeth? Youth means bride, you and me. Spiritually, let's put all the warning upon us. The bride cannot be a 180 years old woman. Must be a young, beautiful bride. So when David sees Bathsheba, she loves Bathsheba. She takes her, right? This is on the wrong example side. You look at the good side. The Savior, son of David, sees the bride. So beautiful. Clothed with fine linen cloth. Covered by the Holy Spirit. So beautiful. But she is still bound to some evil man Uriah, not a righteous man Uriah. The evil principality of the world. The Lord says, don't worry. I will send my servant to kill that guy. You will be taken back. Who is that guy? Death. Correct? You are annulled from death. The Lord has delivered us from the covenant. From the covenant of death. He delivered us from the covenant. He broke that covenant. He gave us life. Amen? The bad examples of the Old Testament, if you look at it in the mirror, you will see the right side. You know, in the mirror you see, if you show left, right, it will show right, right? Because it's counteractive, kind of. But if you look everything from the believe in all good things perspective, you will see what the Lord wants us to see. Now, the pillar of salt did not just end the side effect. She turned was not just the end of the story. She still had two more left. You see what they did? You see what they did? Because Lot lingered and the two angels pulled him inside second time, correct? And the third time they told him, do this, 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 and let's say, oh, not so, my Lord. Third time, Lot says, I have a better idea. What is the idea, Lot? Verse 19, behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast shewed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Before that line, Lot was speaking sense. You saved my life, showed grace and mercy. I give you
all my praise to the Lord. Thank you, two angels. Good, good, good. But if you send me the mountain, you know what will happen? That evil will kill me. Lord, you delivered me from sickness. You delivered me from this pain. You pulled me out of this valley. Thank you, Lord. But don't send me the mountain. You know why? This sickness will come again. This beast, you know, you just destroyed the beast, wolf, correct? Yes, he may have some other allies. They may come again, come and bite me. Fear of men, fear of evil, fear of sickness, fear of pain, fear of death. And the Lord will be looking at this, how many times I can save this guy? How many times? He said this. How many times, Israel, I delivered you from the hands of captivity? How many times? He told this. How many times? But still he says, my mercy is fresh and new every morning. That is the God whom we serve. Don't you think we should be grateful? Don't you think we should be truthful, faithful to Him? Accepting who we are is the starting point of our revival. Our mind will never let you accept who you are. It always needs a mask, like the COVID mask. I don't want virus to enter my lung system. That mask. Something to make people to not to see your clear face. You might be struggling, crying inside, but outside, what? What? You need help? Call me. But you go home and you cry. Come home, I'm very strong. Anyone needs help? The Lord tells all of us, share your burdens. We are weak. I am weak. I am weak. We are all weak. We need one another to arm shoulder, to hold our hand and say, my brother, pray for me. Why? I couldn't sleep. I'm feeling some depression. Pray for me. Okay, brother, I pray for you. The enemy goes and disturbs this brother who is praying for me. Then there is one more sister praying for this brother. It becomes a chain reaction. The enemy gets trapped. You know, we'll be feeling dizzy. It'll go out. Why? When we pray for one another, we literally build a wall around us. Literally build a wall around us. Now, this wall, the Lord has always told us to be careful. Don't go outside the wall. Don't go outside my will. Amen? So when the two angels told this to Lot, why Lot couldn't simply, I will do it? Why Lot could not be Abraham? Abraham said, I'll do it. Prophet Isaiah said, I'll do it. But Lot couldn't say it. Lot couldn't say it. Now, because of these reactions, he told them, behold now, verse 20, the city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. My soul shall live. What about the two daughters? What about the two daughters? He said, my soul shall live. Okay? Because in his family, he is the only one called as the righteous Lot. Correct? He is not lying as well. And he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also. And I will not overthrow the city for which thou hast spoken. Hast thee escaped thither? For I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. And the sun was risen up, the earth was, and the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. So Lot entered into Zoar. This is the sign for the two angels to start doing the work. They waited. They waited. Amen? Now let's think about the seven bowls of wrath in the book of Revelation. The Lord says, I'm waiting. I'm waiting. I'm gracious. The Lord who waits for the children, because He's gracious. He's waiting graciously with all His mercy for every one of us to enter the strong tower. For every one of us to enter His kingdom, His foundation. Then He will say, no time. I am that I am. So I am bringing all of this to come to pass. Destruction will come to pass. Now, verse 30, and Lot went up to Zoar and dwelt in the mountain. So, yes, verse 30, he's going. But in between, in seven verses, that city is gone. Completely overthrown. Destroyed. Burned to ground. Fine. Now, he went with the daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. What is this? He went up out of Zoar. Read verse 30 clearly. He went up out of Zoar. But the land was named as Zoar because Lot entered the land. He went up out of Zoar. For what? And dwelt in the mountain and his two daughters with him. For he feared to dwell in Zoar. What is that to fear? What is that to fear? You witness God destroying Sodom and Gomorrah for you. You witness God
delivering you out of all of this, what is there else to fear? What is there else to fear? He dwelt in a cave and his two daughters. He told, I'll go to the mountain. Now he dwelt in a cave. When the Lord touched us, we feel so excited, so sincere. We climb to the mountain and we feel, no, we try all our strength, all of them, because we are so excited. Like you, if you buy something new, you've waited for so long, maybe it's something, a material in your house, a dress or something that can be destroyed. You will love it so much for days, for weeks, for months, for years. Then, what is this? Just throw it away. Let's buy something new. Excitement, curiosity, addiction. Addicted to things that are not going to last with you forever. That is flesh, correct? So he received everything, but still he couldn't see the greatness of God. Still he feared by himself, decided to go out to observe. He stayed in a cave. He stayed in a cave. What is the spiritual definition of cave? You won't see sunlight, correct? You can't see anything outside. You are in a safe haven, thinking you are in a safe haven. But of course you preserve your life. Beasts cannot come and find you because you are not visible to God's children. You are not visible to beasts also, because you can seal yourself with your own stone. But over time, without sunlight, our skin will start introducing new diseases. We will feel so much sickness from inside. No water, no food. You will have to come out for the food. How long I can be in the cave? I must come out. You will feel hunger, correct? But in this gap, in this moment of staying in the cave, what happened? And the firstborn and said unto the younger, our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve the seed of our father. We will preserve the seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine at that night. And the firstborn went in and lay with the father, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. He had no clue what happened. So, in that single verse, Lot is completely washed off everything that we read here. Same as Noah, drunk and slept, and son, what all son committed, Noah was not conscious. He was not aware of. It's like Lazarus was in the tomb, like a dead man. The two sisters, they had some arguments, fight. They did some bad stuff. And Jesus came and told Lazarus, oh, come out of the tomb. He comes out. He don't know anything. Because he was not part of that thing committed. Because that time he was asleep. He was asleep. So, they were excluded somehow from this. Correct? Now you read what happened. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, behold, I lay yesterday night with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. Let's do this. And they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down, and nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. Do not pollute your mind by physical, flesh, body and all. I told you, remain as the spiritual realm. Remain there. That is the reason. Seed should never remind you of child in the womb. Seed should remind you of what we read spiritually. Because there is a deeper revelation the Lord wants us to take from the book of the Old Testament. The Old Testament is not about bows and arrows, blood and bone, betrayal and lust. No. It's not that it. He is the same yesterday, today and forever. Never forget the verse. Now you read this. And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab. Now, this week, I encourage you all, go and study about Moabites. Okay? Whenever the Lord leads your heart, go and search. Where are Moabites? What they did? What happened to them? Then look, understand what happened to the fruit of the firstborn of Lot. The daughter, mother's daughter, correct? Now let's go to mother's second daughter. And now what? The same is the father of the Moabites unto this day. 38. And the younger, she also bare a son, and called his name Ben-Ammi. The same is the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. Ammon. Oh, I heard this name somewhere. Oh, everywhere. Ammonites. Let's turn. Book of Ezekiel, chapter 21, verse 28 to 32. Book of Ezekiel,
which talks about no mercy for the Ammonites. Yes, brother.
And you, son of man, prophesy and say, thus say the Lord God concerning the Ammonites and concerning their reproach, and say, a sword is drawn, polished for slaughter, for consuming, for flashing, while they see false visions for you, while they divine lie to you, to bring you on the necks of the wicked, the slain, whose day has come, whose iniquity shall end. Return it to its sheath. I will judge you in the place where you were created, in the land of your nativity. I'll pour out my indignation on you. I'll blow against you with the fire of my wrath, and deliver you into the hands of brutal men who are skillful to destroy. You shall be fuel for the fire. Your blood shall be in the midst of the land. You shall not be remembered, for I, the Lord, have spoken.
Amen. This is concerning a particular segment that talks about words spoken against Ammonites concerning some event. But look at the words, which always points back to the origin of your creation. Because I just read the word seed, correct? The seed, the place where that seed was brought forth. And in this chapter, it says, verse 30, shall I cause it to return into his sheath? I will judge thee in the place where thou was created. Then why you allowed that to be created? If Lot was the only one saved from that Sodom and Gomorrah destruction, the two daughters and the mother, let's say they destroyed, then there is no Moabites, there is no Ammonites. But was it a wrong thing to commit? Was it evil? Was it a good thing to commit? Was it good? Who are you and me to judge? But the scripture speaks to us by the life of the two seeds. The life of the seed speaks for itself. Now what it speaks for itself tells us whether it is testimony of Jesus Christ or the one the Lord hates. The Lord hates. What the Lord hates? Adulterous wife, we started last Sunday. Also, we focus on mother's daughter. I told you, I repeat, there is no female here. Thou art the woman. I am the bride. You are the bride. We are not limiting our mind. Judah, seed, was preserved by who? Tamar. Who is Tamar? The daughter-in-law. If you curse the two daughters of Lot for what they did in a physical sense, you should also have the courage to curse Tamar for what she did in the physical sense to Judah. Can you do so? Do you have the courage to do so? Because Perez is key. That is the line of Judah. That is where we see all. So now, what we see in the flesh is not what we see in the spirit. Amen? Things of the nature, the natural things, can never receive the things of the spirit. Now, mother's daughter, adulterous wife. And as I said, all these words, there is only one word I want all of us to focus, which is bride. And as a seed, correct? We are the seeds. Bride, and the Lord is bringing forth his bride in the seven such ages, just because we are focusing on the present established truth. Do you hear me? In the life of Lot, Abraham, the present established truth, they don't have any visibility. They were just living what the Lord allowed them to live. Now, book of Ezekiel spoke about how the Lord sees Ammonite. King of Babylon, we know. King of Persia, we know. But Moabites, Ammonites, I encourage you all. It's a beautiful experience. You can go and search. I can tell you chapters, but I won't say. You can go and search in which chapter they are there and what is there for us to learn. Because they are the fruit of something that was committed, correct? Now, let's start from here. Abraham's wife, Sarah, laughed when she heard that she will give birth to a son. But did you notice very clearly, she was not part of the discussion. She was in the tent. Abraham was meeting the three. He was standing before the Lord. The two angels were with him as a witness. Because that promise that was to be given to Abraham, if you just visualize, it's a very simple event. There is a big tree. Abraham is standing under the tree. And the Lord is speaking to Abraham, and two angels are witnessing. You say, oh, small event. It's not like the big, mighty battle of Amalekites with Joshua. It's a small event. Small event. Promised son is going to be promised to the father of all generations, Abraham. He's called the father of all the nations. Amen? So, it's a very important moment. A very important time. Very important promise. That is what happened exactly before Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. So on one side, Lot is there. On the other side, Abraham is there. So Sarah laughed. The wife laughed. But still she survived. She gave birth to Isaac. The wife of Lot, she turned back. She didn't survive. She became pillar of salt. And the two daughters, they bring forth two children, two seeds, Moabites, Ammonites. And we still read about them until today. Now we move a bit further. We know what happened to the Potiphar's wife who tried to sleep with Joseph. So she is the wife of a good man, because Potiphar was not a bad man. He was relying on Joseph for the dreams, interpretation, everything we know. And the Lord exalted Joseph to be next to the king, Pharaoh. So Potiphar, he played a very important role. Amen? Very similar to Pontius Pilate. So on one side, I am Joseph in the prison. And I have the favor of Pontius Pilate, which is Potiphar. Now, on this side, Potiphar's wife, he wants to put my fine linen clothes into dirt, you know, to make me full of shame. She wanted me to commit a sin of adultery with her. But the moment she touched my garment, I dropped my garment, I ran. Correct? So Joseph escaped from the wife of Potiphar. So wife who wants to commit adultery, and Joseph, that savior at that time, for the people of Israel, by bringing them to the land of milk and honey, he saved them by escaping from this woman of the Potiphar. Now, our Savior, our Master, he was standing before Pontius Pilate, a righteous man, as he was also called. But this time, he had a righteous wife who told him, don't do it. We read last Sunday, don't do it, Matthew 27. He's a righteous man. My heart is troubled. I suffered because of this man in my dreams. Let's protect our life. Let's take ourselves away from this sin, iniquity. It's a huge, huge sin. So, this side, an adulterous wife, and this side, a righteous wife. Amen? So Joseph, Jesus Christ. Good. Now we go. Noah and the wife. That wife, she carried serpent and seed. So, she became the door, or she became the tool, or the vessel, or the window for the serpent seed to continue, correct? Through her own son. So, mother's daughter, also applicable to mother's daughter. He might be son. But the word daughter, you know, what does it mean? That son, that man, that king, whoever it is, he has the power and authority to bring forth another son in the same manner, correct? You can destroy your entire generation if you keep on past the iniquity, sin, darkness. So now, remember the word daughter. If I tell you I'm 7 months pregnant, you will laugh at me. Come on, brother. Stop joking. Correct? But if I tell you, for the past 7 months, I'm working on a cunning, divisive plan. And the 9th month, I'm going to bring that child out. I will kill someone. You will say, what an evil man this guy. Put him into jail. Arrest him. So, on physical sense, you won't consider me as a woman. But on this sense, you'll consider me as a man, an evil man. Now, Garden of Eden was like a womb. Amen? God created Adam. He was inside, safe and sound. He made Eve. She was also inside, safe and sound. But the Lord also allowed them to be tested by the serpent who was also there. Not outside. Amen? If you truly believe, think very deeply. If you truly believe, the Lord who sealed the Garden of Eden with cherubims and everything, seraphims and all, no one can enter. Then who put serpent inside? Think. So serpent was there in a place where he can reach out to Eve. Amen? So she fell. Now, What happened when God threw them out of Garden of Eden? When the sin was committed, they were so scared, they thought they were naked, they went and put on their own clothing. The Lord saw it. He said, no, no. He put the goat skins on them to cover them. He did not forgive them. He told them, he cast them out of the Garden of Eden. Amen? Man and woman, husband and wife, they were thrown out. So now you see, if that womb was supposed to bring forth life to be fruitful, sin entered, it actually brings forth death. Because the Lord told Adam, the day you do this, thou shalt die. Correct? But when he gave this commandment, Adam was not dying. He was living. He was not bound to aging and death. He was not a dying soul. He was a living soul. The first Adam, a living soul. Amen? So when the Lord spoke this, Adam must start dying. True. He came out. The Lord allowed him to live for 930 years. But actually, spiritually, we should read, Adam died after 930 years. He did not live up to 930 years. Because why? He was a living soul. He was not supposed to die. Correct? Adam was not supposed to die. He was a living soul. If one day is as good as 1,000 years, Adam did not even see 1,000 years. He died at 930 years. Even if you compare figuratively. 930 years he died. Which means the death that was given to Adam, it lived until 930 years and he died with it. Death died. But that is not the death of the dead. That is what we read in the book of Revelation. Now you look at Bathsheba's womb. A similar spiritual comparison of the Garden of Eden. She was supposed to conceive wisdom. Solomon, for instance. If David take her in a righteous way, as a righteous husband, as a righteous wife, and comfort her with the divine love, and bring forth the son Solomon, that child would have lived. But instead, there was an abomination. There was an iniquity. There was an act of wickedness. So that child in the womb, the Lord struck. Struck with what? Death. And when that child came out, the child was dying for 7 days. Died. Then our Savior, our Master, he descended into Sheol. 7 church ages, the death is dying. It will die on the 7th day when you come and kill it and destroy it. None is stopping it. Death is not living. Death by itself is dying. But life is living. We are living. The Lord tells all of us, hold on to the life. It is dying. Don't hold on to the one that is dying. It is dying. It's a dying child. He struck already. When? On Calvary he struck. When the righteous blood of Christ was shed. When he became the atonement of my sin, your sin, of all our sin. He put himself in on behalf of us. He died for us, descended. He struck the death by swallowing death. So if the Lord is bringing forth his remnants and all the redeemed for the 7,000 years, you apply it in the New Testament, in the present established truth. 7 church ages, the bride is being cast, bride is being, you know, bring forth, correct? The Lord is bringing forth the bride, assembling the body of Christ. At the same time, death continues to die. He will destroy the death when the wrath is fulfilled. When the fury is addressed, he will only be addressed when that death is completely destroyed once for all. Now you understand, the wrath of God is the only way the Lord can put an end to all of this mess, darkness, chaos, confusion, pain, suffering, because death was introduced. If the word of God is important for life, the wrath of God is important to destroy death. You hear me? Both are same. Why? If Jesus Christ is a complete manifestation of God's word, he also must be the only one who can execute the complete manifestation of God's wrath. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Then what is that? Who will come with the winepress? Who can judge all of us in life and death? He himself alone. If you think wrath of God as something else, you are ignoring Jesus Christ, the Word of God. He is the only one who can bring it to come to an end. He is the only one who can destroy death. And he is telling us, I struck the child. Live a life like David. Put on sackcloth. Keep praying. Pray for enemies. Pray for yourself. keep praying because you can't go to him. The child cannot come to you, you can go to him. To whom? To whom? We will go to him. Amen? Stephen said, Jesus, hear me. Do you hear me clearly? My spirit is coming, receive him. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. I am coming home. The prodigal son is coming home. Receive me, Father in heaven. So, we can go to him. But that also, we won't do it. Why? We are so stiff-necked, so weak, so ungrateful, so insincere. The Lord says, just meet me in some common point. We will meet up in the air. Because he set up a covenant with Noah, with a rainbow. A covenant between earth and heaven. The rainbow, whenever you see it, you remember, I hang between heaven and earth for you. Every time you see, if you see, oh, rainbow, so beautiful colors. You should see the cross, the Savior who hangs between heaven and earth. That is the true eyes of spiritual understanding. When you see a rainbow, you see the covenant. My Savior died to release me from death. Every time I see rainbow, I don't feel happy. I feel Calvary. For me, rainbow is Calvary. Tamar, she was putting on beautiful clothes of colors. When she was despised, she had to put on sackcloth. King Hezekiah was so mighty, king clothing. Everybody know, oh, the king is coming. But inside the tabernacle, when he spread everything before the Lord, he put on sackcloth. When someone enters the tabernacle, who is the king? There is no king. There is only one king, the king of the Jews. In any church, there is only one master, one face, one name, Jesus Christ. Amen? If anyone tries to be that face, that hand, that name, the sad truth is the Lord will let it happen. Because that is his pattern. That is his pattern. He will let it grow. Go, grow. Do whatever you want. Oh, giants of Cain's genealogy. Good, good. Grow, grow. How far you can grow? Oh, I'm a giant. I can grow 12 feet. I can carry 10 people. Okay, is there anything else you can do? Oh, wait, wait, give me 5 more years. I'll build some more army. I can do. Is there anything? That's all. Okay, now I'll destroy you. Iniquities of the Ammonites was full up to the brim when the Lord decided to destroy them. Because he's righteous, he'll give you a chance. If it's a boxing ground, he will let you exercise, build your muscles, take your time, take your time, take your time. And he will let you come. Then he will let you come and show all your skills. Then he will just destroy you. Without even laying his finger on you. Because in the name of preparing to wage war against God, you will die of heart attack. You will die of weariness. He don't have to use his beautiful, divine promises or the word of God to be filthy, to stain his word. He says, I will bring forth your recompense back upon your own head. You don't need anyone to destroy you because you yourself by death, by nature, you are the death. The Lord says, if at all I need to have some interaction with you, that must be about my business. That my business is to bring you to life. I don't have to send you to death. Why? You are dead. I am dead. We are walking dead. Book of Romans. What a beautiful sharing by Brother Raleigh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. A living sacrifice. Which means, if I am not a living sacrifice, I am a dead sacrifice. Already sacrificed to death. So now, adulterous wife, don't think about woman, you, me, could become. This could be our evil hope of eternal damnation. Correct? Because I am called to be the righteous wife. That is my calling. Righteous wife. Because my Lord whom I serve, he is the anointed. And he is also the righteous judge. That's my husband man. Amen? But for us to go to that stage, I must be an acceptable bride to him. Amen? Now, what is lacking? What is lacking in order for us to tell the Lord, I won't be like this flesh. I won't be like this flesh. Which means we need to remember the lessons, spiritual lessons, and drink the milk from all the characters the Lord allowed us to see. So I'm going to place some names on my right side. Those who do not know God at all. Starting from Potiphar's wife, okay? Potiphar's wife, Jezebel, King Ahab's wife. Okay. Now Potiphar's wife tried to bring down Joseph. King Ahab's wife, Jezebel, bring down Prophet Elijah. Now I go to New Testament. Herodias, the wife of Herod, the wife of Philip, the brother. Just because John told, you can't marry your brother's wife, man. That's all. Herod got angry, but he was scared to say anything against John the Baptist. So the man was wise to escape at least from John the Baptist. But the wife was so adulterous, she was willing to go down to the pit along with the husband. The same way the Lord delivered Lot with his wife, the wife is also always want to bring down the husband with her. Just because she wanted to kill John the Baptist, she literally exposed King Herod to bring forth the blame upon his head by the king or the general, the man who was powerful at that point of time. He is always remembered how, oh, this King Herod, oh, he beheaded John the Baptist. But actually he was scared of him. He was always keeping himself away from him. But she deceived the wife of King Herod. Herodias, she deceived the king by sending her daughter. The daughter danced, father gone. Daughter danced, father gone. So Herod said, what do you want? I want the head of John the Baptist in the plate. How cruel. He allowed it. John the Baptist was beheaded by two women who deceived one man. Correct? Now we go to King Ahab, Jezebel. How brave she was. We should really appreciate for such a blindsided courage, poisonous boldness to go against Prophet Elijah. Do you think that the Lord allowed her to do this for vanity? It was a lesson for Prophet Elijah to see his nakedness. He ran away from her. He went and was hiding in the cave. Where? In the cave. Correct? The Lord who performed mighty miracles through Prophet Elijah also told Elijah, the moment I take my hands off, you are that man who ran away from Jezebel. Remember, he taught a lesson to everyone, my brethren. King Hezekiah, he saw all the mighty works of God. The angels went and destroyed all the army of King Sennacherib. Hezekiah was celebrating, the Hezekiah who put on sackcloth. The Lord said, why he is so puffed up? He said, I will take my hands off to see what exactly you have in your heart. Hezekiah felt so pride, he fell. And the Lord remembered him in his everlasting mercy. He could have died as an unfaithful king, but the Lord showed mercy. Because he was keep on putting on sackcloth in the past, the Lord remembered the past, not the iniquity. Correct? But Prophet Elijah, the Lord would never give up on him. He is his prophet. He sent ravens to feed him. He encouraged him. He strengthened him. There was a moment of making him even more stronger. But when he saw the vessel was weary, he prepared Elisha. Get ready. Round 2. Take the baton from Elijah. Start running. Every one of us, we receive the baton from someone. Because the Lord's seed is keep on working. He's keep on revealing. We have a duty, my brethren. We have a responsibility. It is not just to become his wife. It's not just to be a bride. You can never be his bride if you do not do his works. You can never be his wife if you do not have the burden of the husbandman. Lot had the right burden, but the wife had not the same burden. You hear me? He had the right burden, but the wife, she did not share the burden. King Ahab did not go against Prophet Elijah, but Jezebel deceived him. Both of them, they lost their life. Was it? That's it. I believe Acts chapter 4 and 5. Ananias and his wife, they sold all their possession, but they kept for something for themselves. As if they believe the Holy Spirit can work through them. Are you kidding me? Is it possible? If it is possible, then God would say to Moses and Aaron and David King, I know you are a king, but there are so many kings in the land. So just go and obey them. There is only one anointing. The anointing of the Holy Spirit. It does not need intelligence. It needs obedience. It does not need knowledge. It needs knowing Christ. If not, we will be walking on the edge in the name of knowledge. Then you will fall and die. Like what happened to Jezebel. She fell and died. So on one side, women who don't know God, Jezebel, Potiphar's wife, you can name it. Even we were one of that woman. So don't exclude yourself. The problem of our seventh church age is, we prefer to sit in the audience role and watch the movie. The director, screenplay was not good. Or this actor, he was good in the previous movie. What happened to him? No emotions. Oh, look at the music. Good, but this musician could have done better. The movie over. There was a producer who invested all the money for that movie. There were actors in that movie. There were workers, directors, so many people in the documentary. They took all the profit. The only role of me is to spend my money to buy the ticket. Actually, I am on the losing side. I lost. I am not in the game. Correct? There are so many people who are spectators to the ministry of Jesus Christ. They were spectators. Not part of building the wall. Not part of the documentary. Not part of the walking. The Lord called all of us. Never, ever become the spectator. We must be inside. Whether it is pain, failure, whatever it is, we must be inside. On Calvary, he was left all alone. Everyone forsook him. That is the true nature of our flesh. We forsake Lord. We forget all his benefits. We are nothing but people of betrayal. But if the Lord made you as a people of righteousness, gratefulness, goodness, we should remember that he is escaping us from his wrath, not from anyone else. He is blessing us to escape. So now, on this side, I bring women who know God. Esther, there are beautiful examples. Even those women who walk with Jesus, Mary, Martha. And in the book of 2 Timothy, we were meditating in the prayer gathering yesterday. The grandmother, Louis, the mother, Eunice, who were remembered when Apostle Paul wrote a letter to the son, Timothy. Beautiful. But let's not limit there. Let's put ourselves in the shoe. The Lord said, I put my word in you. You are like my garden of Eden. You must carry my child, my fruit, my work, my thought. And give birth in terms of your living sacrifice. Actions. Amen? So, whatever I learn, if I keep it in my womb, in my heart, as a thought, but not giving birth in terms of action. Now you know, faith without acts is considered death. No difference than the 7-day child of Bathsheba. Death died for 7 days. Principalities, flesh, darkness lived for 7 church ages. The prince of the world tried to show his dominion for 7,000 years. Then the Lord says, time's up. Done. Now, let's read Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1. Yes. Verse 1 to 8.
The burden of the word of the Lord is Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, said the Lord. Yet you say, in what way have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, said the Lord. Yet Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated, and laid waste his mountains and his heritage for the jackals of the wilderness. Even though Edom has said, we have been impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus say the Lord of hosts, they may build, but I will throw down. They shall be called the territory of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord will have indignation forever. Your eyes shall see, and you shall say, the Lord is magnified beyond the border of Israel. The son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? If I am a master, where is my reverence, says the Lord of hosts. To you, priests, who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? You offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts.
Amen. Book of Malachi is the last chapter or the last knot
of that rope from Old Testament as we move to New Testament. Not just in terms of timeline, but in terms of the connection. We know about Malachi, prophet, verse this and that, but the truth is, we are excited that the Lord revealed something to us. But that excitement can also make us to be the spectators. Whatever we know of, if the serpent also knows exactly the same. Now the question is, what is the difference between me and the serpent? What is the difference between me and those who worship Satan? What is the difference between me and those who follow darkness? Because those things that we learn, the only difference between the God children and everything else is, God's children can put that faith into work, can live that word in their life, not by themselves, but by the Spirit. Because of that, the Father can be pleased. Not everyone who gives birth to a child cannot become the parents. Not every child who are born cannot become the children. We are nothing but living souls. We can choose to be a dead soul or we can choose to be a living soul. But in scripturally, the Son who honoreth the Father, He pleases the Father. And the Father can say, my faithful Son, my faithful servant, I am pleased in thee. Then that Father-Son relationship is acceptable in the sight of God. Amen? That is the perfection we are moving. Correct? That is the perfection we are moving. Now, mother's daughter, take another turn, father-son. We are focusing on the mighty roof of God's agape love, righteousness. Life's life. He brings forth all of us from His thoughts. He gave us life. El Shaddai. And He breathed His life. He chastened us, disciplined us. He is our Father. And He is our all. Amen? So He is the life. He gave you life. So you tell Him, Father in heaven. Because His life is in you. Which means my life must please the life. Amen? But I am still a servant because He is a master. I am a part of the word. Receive the grace. A portion of His faith. But He is all. So I serve Him with reverence and honor. Book of Malachi is a strong whip. A slap. A chastening. A rebuking. Before we enter New Testament. It's like people are sleeping. They are going to sleep for 430 years, 400 years before the New Testament begins. The Lord just smote their head. Wake up. By what? Embrace fear of God. Fearless flock. Then you would say, okay, this brother has improved. Last Sunday, he came with a negative title, adulterous wife. This Sunday, beautiful title, fearless flock. No, not a beautiful title. I'm telling, we are fearless to God. The flock that is fearless to God will become the adulterous wife. The bride that is fearless to God will become the adulterous bride. The children of God who is fearless to the Father in heaven will become the unrighteous children of men. So fearless flock, I'm sorry, again, is not a beautiful, sweet title. But it is bitter. It's still sweet in our life. We don't want to be that. Because Book of Malachi is keep on telling us, do you fear my name? Was it a coincidence? The entire life of King Solomon, who was called, oh man of wisdom, the Lord was simply mocking him. I will let you to become the greatest wise king of the world. I will let you showcase all your wisdom. Then I will confound you. You will fall in your own wisdom. You will marry so many women. Because when you show your strength, women will be attracted to you. You might be thinking they truly love you. You will embrace them. You will give birth to children of men. Then He will say, the true wisdom is what He wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes, last chapter 12. There is nothing I give up, I yield. There is nothing else we can do other than fear God and keep His commandments. What, Solomon? I was a king of wisdom. Now I am a son of wisdom. I understood. Everything else is vanity. Fear God and keep His commandments. We will go deeper in the book of Malachi next week. But we are also not done yet with Ezekiel 16. I prayerfully ask you all, meditate, because I cannot read all the verses. I encourage you all in the name of the Lord. Meditate, Ezekiel 16.
It has a lot of branches, travels across. It might sound so rebuking. No. It's a love letter, as our brother again before he said. The scripture is a beautiful love letter from the Lord to his children, to his saints, to his bride, and telling us, don't go this way, don't go that way. Just keep your eyes fixed. Why? He knows that we are walking dead. He's telling us, walk with me in life. So may the Lord bless us. We heard so many names. So many names. And all those names are telling us, calling us from the deep. There was a lesson from that name. And the Lord wants us to take the good of that life and focus. We can never ever let our mind to fix or assume a person or a brother or a sister or a man or a woman just because of he or what she did in the past, because that does not define what the Lord has planned for them at the end. Because you don't know. Accept the fact you don't know. The truth is you will never know. If you know, then you are a savior. If you can tell me, I know the perfect will of God for Brother Clement, then you are a savior. You believe in all good things. And what is that? God told me in the book of Ezekiel, I don't take pleasure in the death of wicked. I am a wicked person. So the Lord tells me, he is not pleased in my death. Good, I love him. I go to another side. The same way he showed me mercy, I believe for all. But in doing so, the Lord says, stand firm for your faith. I cannot show mercy against the word of God. Amen? You cannot show grace against the word of God. If you do so, you are the King Solomon who took the wives from other nations. There is only one nation, Israel. There is only one temple, Jerusalem. There is only one holy city, new city, holy Jerusalem. We are bound to that. In that land, whatever is acceptable, we do. Whatever is not acceptable, we hold our peace and stay inside the world. Let's not go outside the world. Why? Destruction is about to come. We may hear news. Oh, there is a big rock coming from the space to hit the earth. You may hear news. Oh, Singapore is a very well spread country. There is a gun shoot in the shopping mall. People will go crazy. Whatever we think it is, the Lord will simply break it like a shell of an egg. He is the only strong tower we can look up to. May the Lord bless us to receive the burden. I have been burdened so greatly past 1 year concerning the sickness of the land where we are stepped in. There are people struggling with depression, isolation, sexual harassment. People are struggling. They could not say it out loud. What is the purpose of us embracing the mind of Christ? To tell everyone, I'm a Christian, you know. Hey, do you know Brother Branham? You don't know.
Oh.
You know Sinapham? You don't know.
Oh.
You don't know Serpent? You don't know.
Oh, come on, brother. I thought you were a PhD.
You can say so many things. But if our life does not bring forth to the land where we are planted, this garden is nothing but a garden of death. All these trees are nothing but the highest cedar of Lebanon. The Lord has blessed us. There is a privilege to be part of the sowing of the last 40 years, my brethren. I request all of us to remember, it was a sowing period. We must have the passion, hunger and thirst to ask the Lord, Lord, show the harvest. We want our life to be fruitful, to bring joy to the people around us, to see people in the train, see people in the bus, to pray for them, to tell our loved ones, our colleagues, come to the church, to learn from the Spirit how to witness Him, not in your own ways. You can give all of your savings, your life to someone in the name of helping. The Lord would say, Lord, why are you fighting outside? Come inside. What? I thought I'm sacrificing everything. When did I tell you? No one can outgive God. No one can feel the satisfaction of I spent $1 million for God. My brethren, go to YouTube. Search the most watched videos. You will see all the filthy stuff coming up. They earn billions of dollars every month, every year. If they give 1% tithing, they can cover the entire fivefold ministry. Do you think God will be pleased? He is looking for that weak woman, the poor woman who threw the 2 mice that she had. All that she had. All our life. With joy. Cheerful heart. No grumpiness. A righteous wife can only love David when David dances. Wow, beautiful dance. I will go and dance. That is the Michal David wanted. not the grumpy, complaining, groaning, despising. We are like that. Don't say you are not. I was like that. Lord give you so many blessings, you will rejoice. When the Lord smote your head, he said, oh, come on. This is not fair. But we sing a song, Jesus, beautiful name. You are fairer than all the rose. You are so sweet. Then we say, Lord, it's not fair. When I say, you say, Lord, you are not fair. The word fair means righteousness. Remember, fair means righteousness. We can never say. We can say, Lord, I am not fair. I am not sincere. Good. That's a good way to escape. We say, Lord, you are righteous. I know. I am weak. I'm not fair. When we do so, that is sackcloth. When you put on, we can become the anointed's bride because he anointed us. May the Lord bless us as we continue next week. May the Lord teach us. If at all we want something from the Lord, I learned from King Solomon. I learned from King David. From all these women, children that we are called to learn. May the Lord bless us to embrace the fear of God wholeheartedly, in joy, in reverence, and understand fear of God is the only clothing you can walk through the wrath of God. The rain will hit you hard. If you take off the fear of God, you will be soaked in acid rain. By the time you reach home, you will be only a skeleton, no flesh, all gone. But if you put on the fear of God, bow your head, walk with him humbly, you will go through the rain. The rain will not destroy you. May the Lord teach us. We give all glory to the Lord. Amen. Let's all rise as we close the sermon. Our Lord, our God, thank you, Lord, that you loved us first. Thank you, Lord, that you went to Calvary, remembering all of us. Because, oh Lord, you love us truly, with all your fullness, with all your goodness. Thank you, Lord, that you endured the cross for the joy that was set before you. May you bless us, Lord, to endure the cross of our life for the same joy that is before us. Help us, Lord, when we go out from today, not from tomorrow. Today is the day. Help us, Lord, to look outside, to look around. If there is anyone you want us to pray for, if there is anyone you want us to witness, if there is anyone you want us to receive the burden, as we read in the book of Malachi chapter 1, the burden of the Lord came unto me saying, Lord, come unto us, Lord. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. It's a time of embracing burdens. There is no harvest if there is no burden, Lord. Help us, Lord. You taught us that we were blessed with such a powerful apostolic ministry all these years. The time, the season of sowing. Help us, Lord, to overcome our flesh, our hesitation, not to linger and to break all the dust above our head and come out and show the green leaf to be exposed to the sun of righteousness, the sunlight. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. We thank you for all things. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we surrender the ministry, we surrender our life, we surrender all of those who joined us from overseas, all of those who may listen to this fellowship. Lord, we pray, keep all of us as one bride. Help all of us to be truthful to you, to be humble and grateful in what you have given in our life. Blessed be your holy name. In the name of Jesus Christ, we all prayed. Amen. God bless you all, brethren. Shalom.